Our Bible reading today is taken from the Old Testament book of Job, Job chapter 19. We're going to read some verses from that chapter, beginning at verse 23, going down to the end of verse 27. And then our second reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, reading through to the end of the verse 21. And I would encourage you in your home to look up the scriptures, mark these two passages in your Bible, Job chapter 19, and then also 1 Peter chapter 1. Commencing a reading at Job chapter 19 and the verse number 23. Let us hear the word of the Lord. It says, "Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." And then turning over to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at the verse 18, and reading through just to the end of verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Amen, and may God bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The text of scripture I want us to look at today is verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1. I read those verses with you again. It says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." In the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see, has many different titles. He is called the Savior of sinners. He is called the Lord, the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. He is called Master and Friend, and he is also given the title of Redeemer. And it was this title of Redeemer that Job the patriarch uses in Job chapter 19 and the verse 25 when he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And this word Redeemer really reminds us of Christ's death upon the cross in his work of redemption for sinners. And it is this same great work of redemption for sinners that Peter is speaking about in our text. When he speaks here to the Lord's people and says that they were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now this was one aspect of Christ's great work that Peter did not want the Christians of his day to forget about. And the same need applies to all God's people. Yes, you and I who are saved must ever be mindful of Christ's redeeming work in our lives. Now, in considering Christ as the Redeemer of his people, it is important to understand the meaning of this word Redeemer, or the word redemption itself. In Scripture, the word redemption literally means to buy back, to set free, and to deliver. Therefore, whenever Christ died upon the cross and shed his blood to redeem his people, he was purchasing them unto himself. He was liberating them from the slavery of sin and Satan. He was delivering them from sin's punishment in hell itself. This is what Christ's redeeming work entails. This is what Peter himself is dealing with here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. When he speaks to the Lord's people and he says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now today, as we would consider these words, there are four things that I want you to notice about the wonder of redemption. Notice first of all here the plan of our redemption. Whenever Peter uttered these words, "redeemed with the precious blood of Christ," he is referring to a work that was planned of God. Indeed, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as Redeemer in verse 20 of the chapter, he says of Christ, "who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Before this world was formed, God, he planned the redemptive work of Christ. As the hymn writer says, it was planned before the hills in order stood and before the earth was framed. You remember the words of Peter himself preaching on the day of Pentecost to the ancient Jewish people about Christ and his death upon the cross. In Acts chapter 2 and the verse 23, there Peter highlights this fact that Christ's death was planned of God. He says of Christ, "him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." And there he reminded his hearers that day that the death of Christ was planned by God. My man's false perception of Christ's death on the cross is that it was a cruel death that could have been avoided or prevented. However, this was not so. God the Father willed that his Son die upon the cross for the sins of his people. And in dying upon the cross, Christ was fulfilling God's purpose from eternity past. Can you think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, as he speaks about his death being planned of God? He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." God himself devised such a plan of redemption for lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners because of his great love for them. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There the Word of God highlights the fact that God sent his Son to die in love for sinners. Yes, it has been said that Christ's redeeming work upon the cross was not the cause of God's love. Rather, it was the effect of God's love. The hymn writer says, "Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary." Indeed, this is why the Bible declares that God is love. In verse 8 of Romans 5, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Child of God, as you think upon these words, "redeemed with the precious blood of Christ," in connection with your own life, see, yes, that your redemption was planned by God. And it was planned because of God's eternal love toward you. Yes, we see the plan of our redemption. But then secondly, I want you also to notice the purpose of our redemption. Our text says, "redeemed with the precious blood of Christ." And my, there is a great purpose connected to this work of redemption. You read of that purpose at the end of verse 18 when it says, redeemed from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Christ has redeemed his people so that they could have their sins forgiven, be sure of everlasting life and heaven, and be delivered from a vain, empty, sinful life here on earth. Over in Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 14, the Word of God says of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And there you see how the forgiveness of sins is linked to the purpose of Christ's redeeming work. Again in Romans chapter 6 verse 23 it says there, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There you see the link between Christ's redeeming work and the great gift of everlasting life to all God's people. Then in Ephesians chapter 2 in the verse 10 it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God have before ordained that we should walk in them. And there again you see how the redeeming work of Christ is linked to a life lived to the glory of God and the life of God's people. The child of God, this is the great purpose of your redemption through Christ. This is what your redemption is all about. God's purpose in it all is that the forgiveness of all of your sins before God. God's purpose in it all is for you to have the great assurance of everlasting life and a home in heaven. And also God's purpose in it all is that you might live a life that brings glory to God here on earth. You think of the words of Titus chapter 2. And the verse 14, there it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says of Christ who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people as zealous of good works. Believer, Christ has redeemed you so that your life can be made holy, so that your life can be different from this ungodly world. The hymn writer rightly says, thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be a clean vessel in thy hand. There they were speaking of the purpose of Christ's redeeming work in their lives, that they might be a clean vessel to the glory of God. It has been said, the believer is not redeemed by obedience to the law, but he is redeemed unto obedience of the law. My believer, Christ has redeemed you, not just to save you from the wrath to come and forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven, but he has redeemed you that you might live to the glory of God here on earth. There was once a Christian lady and she had become a backslider. She had become caught up with the sinful things of this world. One night she was driving to a card school and she turned on her car radio. And as she traveled along the road, she began to listen to a Christian broadcast on her car radio. And on that broadcast, the speaker said, some of you women know more about cards than you do about your Bible. The lady was convicted by these words. She returned home that evening to her own home and she sought the Lord's restoring grace in her life. And from that day onward, you sought to live for Christ instead of living for the things of this world. And sadly, that lady in her backslidden condition is a picture of many professing believers today. There are many of God's people, and they know more about the things of this ungodly world than they do about their Bible. Child of God, how is it with you today? Christ has redeemed you, not that you go on living for self and sin, no. He has redeemed you to deliver you from a life of self and sin. He has redeemed you, as it says in Ephesians 1 verse 6, that you might live, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace in your life. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He's speaking there to people who sadly got sidetracked as God's people and got caught up with the ungodly things of this world. He was seeking to correct them and draw them back to the Lord. And this is what he says to them. He says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? If you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Believe in Christ, this is God's purpose for your life, to glorify God here on earth by His grace in your body and in your spirit. Yes, we see the purpose of redemption. But then notice in the third place, notice from our text, the price of our redemption. Look again at verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And there you see that the precious sinless blood of Christ is the price of our redemption. Verse 18 there says, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Peter makes it very clear there that you and I were not redeemed by any merit of self or any merit of man or of religion. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Our redemption is all through the blood of Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, there the Apostle Paul is speaking about the church of God, the church of Christ. And this is what he says. He says, "The church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." And there you see how the church of Christ, God's people, are purchased and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the eternal Son of God. It is by faith alone in Christ as Savior that you and I are redeemed. John 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, speaking of Christ, says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And it was only Christ, the sinless Son of God, who could satisfy God's justice and redeem us back to God. Turn the page in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 18. Look at what that verse says. It says, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And there reference is made to the redeeming work of Christ on the cross to bring us back to God. Dean, it has rightly been said that Christ's blood is heaven's key. And that is true. It is only through the blood of Christ that you and I can be redeemed and be made sure of heaven. The hymn writer says, "What mighty sum paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, has my soul at freedom set? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood." Oh, child of God, this is why you must make much of the blood of Christ in all your worship of God and all your service for God. This past weekend, we have been remembering, but with thanksgiving, victory in Europe at the end of World War II. We think of the sacrifice of many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands who gave their life that we might have liberty and freedom today. It's right that we remember them and give thanks to God for their sacrifice. How we should pray that our land might ever be kept free. But the thing to remember is this, that many gave their life as a sacrifice for our freedom and for our liberty. They shed their life's blood. Well, in like fashion, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, he gave his life, the Bible says, a ransom for many. He died the just for us, the unjust. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He shed his blood that you and I could be redeemed and saved from our sins. Let me say that if you're listening in today and you're still unsaved, Please understand this, that it is only by you trusting in Christ, trusting in His sacrifice alone for salvation, that you can be redeemed, that you can have your sins forgiven and be saved and be ready for heaven and be right with God. There's no other way but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There was once a young boy and he lost his model sailing boat. Sometime later he saw that very same boat in a shop window for sale. And he went on and he spoke to the shop owner and he told the owner of the shop that this was his lost boat. But the owner of the shop told him, well, if you want that boat, you must pay for it. You must buy it. The young boy went home and got out his savings, counted up the amount of money that was required and went back and purchased, indeed redeemed the boat for himself. And friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has shed His blood as a ransom to God for the redemption of sinners. And to know God's redeeming power from sin in your life, then you must trust in Christ. The object of your faith must be Christ. You must trust in Him alone for salvation. The hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. They were resting upon Christ. They were trusting in His sacrifice alone for their redemption. And so must you if you are to be redeemed by the power of God in your life. In Exodus chapter 12 and the verse 13, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. When God sees the blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart, then He will redeem you for time and all of eternity that there is to come. Yes, the price of our redemption, the precious blood of Christ. But notice finally here the proof of our redemption. When Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, ye were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, he is speaking here about a work that is sufficient, a work that has been proven. You'll notice there that at the end of verse 20 of the chapter, he gives historical proof of the believer's redemption when he speaks of Christ and says that He was manifest in these last times for you. And the very fact that Christ came to this earth over 2,000 years ago and died upon the cross is proof of our redemption. It is a fact of history. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, the Lord have laid on Him the iniquity of us all, it says in the Scriptures. And when they were come to that place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. It's a fact of history that Christ came and died upon the cross and was manifest in these last times. And then in the middle of verse 21, you'll see there also how Peter speaks further of Christ and says, God raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory. And Christ's resurrection from the dead, it is proof that God the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice as a sufficient payment for the redemption of all of His people from their sin. The Bible says He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and verse 34, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Because of Christ's resurrection from the dead and His intercession in glory, then no one can lay a false charge against your dear believer and say that your redemption is incomplete. And then at the beginning of verse 21, you see again there how Peter speaks of Christ and says, who by Him do believe in God? Christian, the very fact that you're trusting in Christ as Redeemer, it is proof of your redemption from sin. Yes, through faith in Christ as Redeemer, your sins are forgiven. You have grace to live for God. You have the great hope of glory and everlasting life in heaven before you. Yes, through faith in Christ as your Redeemer. You can say with Job of old in Job 19, verse 25 and verse 26, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And those words are the testimony of each and every one who is trusting in Christ for salvation. Believer, through faith in Christ as your Redeemer, by resting upon him and a sacrifice alone for your redemption, you can say with Job, speaking of Christ, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Once was a believer leaving the scene of time, and his final words to his family who were gathered round his deathbed were these, "Redeemed, redeemed." In other words, he was testifying of his assurance of heaven that all was well with his soul because his faith was in Christ. He was redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Dear friend, if this is to be your testimony, your hope as well, then your faith must also be in Christ alone as your Redeemer from sin. Oh, if you're still not saved even today, come by faith to Christ and trust him as your Redeemer. And then you shall be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish before God.